So, who is this motley cast and crew? Let me start talking about the characters by saying that in my experience, it's been very rare for an ensemble to work so well together in such a short space and time. Obviously, it has much to do with the creation of the characters, the backstory that's been written for them, the actors, and the sheer enjoyment they all seem to be getting from performing in this well-crafted drama. It is also very rare that a TV series has an ensemble of 9 lead characters, all relatively equal in importance, task, and structure. TV dramas will usually contain no more than 5 or 6 leads, but by extending the ensemble out to 9, we obviously add more complexities to the relationships. Serenity is captained by Malcolm Reynolds, known to all as Mal. He's trim, fit, and handsome in a Jim Kirkian way. He fought valiantly in the war as an independent patriot, and remains so. Serenity has given him the means and ability to give the Alliance a wide berth in the periphery, and a means to fight the peace. In the past, we've seen him have a positive relationship with religion in a flashback during the war, but something since has killed that faith. It also appears that his sense of moral values have been tempered by and since the war. He is kind and weathered, as well as wily and strong. His sense of right and wrong is steeped in freewheeling independent justice and becomes more and more finely tuned as they make their way through the galaxy. It becomes okay to steal if it's from the dastardly Alliance, and its sale can help the underprivileged. It seems that frontiersmen of tomorrow resemble the principled frontiersmen of yesterday, and Reynolds fits that mold to a T through grace, language, and attire.
Malcolm Reynolds represented someone who, although had lost all his hope, would not give up, just would press on. He didn't have any grand dreams. He didn't have any grand causes or goals. All he wanted to do was continue. He wasn't going to shut down and die. He was just going to continue living his life.
Reynolds is played by Nathan Fillion, a 34-year-old Canadian actor who, outside of a bit in Spielberg's Saving Private Ryan, has only really had guest appearances on TV shows before and since. But there is no doubt he brings a maturity and strength of character to Reynolds that is essential. He owns Reynolds, and it works. Zoe Warren was Mal's exec, or 2IC, during the war, and continues in that role during the piece. She is absolutely faithful to him and trusts his judgment virtually all the time. This Wonder Woman also has her warm feminine side, which only ever becomes apparent in her quiet and personal moments with Wash, the pilot who becomes her husband. It is said that Whedon was adamant that the characters of Zoe and Wash be married, and the Fox execs were dead set against that idea. Whedon won that argument because he wanted some sexual and family values represented by the characters. He wanted us to be able to relate to elements of the characters, and he was successful.
She's the resident, like, hard-ass chick. She's the one. She gets the job done. She enjoys her job. She is career military. She has no problem with killing people if it's right. And because she is career military, I mean, you really won't hear her argue with or oppose Mal too often unless she really thinks there's something wrong.
The tough and tight build of Gina Torres has dictated her roles somewhat. Much television in the likes of Xena and Hercules, but also dramatic guest appearances in Law and Order and NYPD Blue and other blue-chip series such as 24, Alias, and Angel. The most notable film appearance to date has been in Matrix Revolutions. A small bit, but still there. The pilot of Serenity is Hoban Washburn, constantly referred to as Wash. He rarely leaves the ship, but it flies under his guidance like a wasp. He's the verbal joker of the crew, in fact, a joker of sartorial sense as well, quite often being seen in gaudy Hawaiian shirts, standing apart noticeably from the Western garb of the rest of the crew. As with any small but dedicated crew, there's a telepathy between Wash and the captain that is required under the conditions they fly in. But it's his relationship with Zoe that defines him and his relationships with everyone else.
It was an interesting relationship. She was this solid fighter woman, and I was a chicken. I didn't like fighting. I wasn't in the war. I wore Hawaiian shirts all the time. I loved Gina, and we had a great rapport. And the stuff that was written for us, this kind of struggling marriage, made sense to me.
Alan Tudyk has primarily been seen in movies more than TV. Smaller roles, but in quite a few nice films, including Patch Adams, 28 Days, The Wonder Boys, One of the Voices in Ice Age, Dodgeball, and as a tour de force, he played the robot opposite Will Smith in iRobot. In the 26th century, every good cargo carrier needs to have its own prostitute. Now, in this period, prostitutes were referred to as courtesans, even registered with the guild. And in fact, to many elements of society, they represented class, not ass. To Mal's Western sensibilities, Inara was in fact a whore. But even for Mal, that was posturing. Inara carried her own weight in more ways than one, sometimes even being an integral part of a caper.
I think Inara brought to that world, to the life of these people on the ship, the heart and sort of like a nurturing quality. I think that she is an extremely passionate person, and she cared very, very much for every single person on that ship.
Marina Bakarin stole the part of Inara at the last minute. Her career is just beginning, with a few small roles to her credits, but being pushed dramatically by the Firefly fans to be the next Wonder Woman in Whedon's take on the character for Joel Silver. Jane Cobb is the muscle of the outfit, big, strong, and pretty stupid, and very concerned with the basics of life. Although he can never really be trusted, he is still part of the crew and does finally develop warm relationships with the most unlikely. He is both the butt of much humor as well as the facilitator, but it was generally the humor that comes from ignorance rather than insight.
Sex, muscle, humor, thuggery. Jane.
Jane is a perfect creation for Adam Baldwin, one of the two actors in the ensemble with much range and previous experience. Baldwin first came to note as a teenager as the title character in Tony Bill's wonderful little film My Bodyguard in 1980. Since then, he has played in over 50 films, mainly good exploitational flicks with a few gems thrown in, including Full Metal Jacket for Kubrick, How to Make an American Quilt, and Independence Day. His TV appearances have included a recurring role on The X-Files, Stargate SG-1, and Angel, amongst many others. He may be cast as the brainless He-Man, but he does it so well. From Scotty to Valana to Trip, every good ship has to have an engineer, and Serenity has Kaylee. In our introduction to her character, she maintains she doesn't believe she has special knowledge about spaceships. She says that they speak to her. They tell her how they're doing and what they need. Kaylee provides the girl next door quality to the group, a little like Gilligan's Marianne, but with real purpose and a necessary skill.
Kaylee brings the sense of family. She makes sure that everybody remembers that they really are one big family, and all they have is each other.
Jules State has been a good working actress for many years. It's understood that to play Kaylee, she had to gain over 20 pounds in weight, as Whedon wanted Kaylee to be the girl next door, not some anorexic model. She's had recurring roles in many TV series, and Firefly was her first lead. Dr. Simon Tan begins the series as a paying passenger and quickly becomes engaged as the ship's doctor as it becomes apparent that he's good and on the run from the Alliance. Simon is also the link to General Alliance society, coming from an upper-class traditional core home. It doesn't matter that he's a genius and better than one would expect of a doctor with his fists as well.
Simon had a lot technically to do on the show in terms of, you know, wounds and bullet holes and, you know, lots of fun-filled infirmary bloody stuff.
Firefly is in fact Sean Marr's first starring role. He's been seen before in a strong recurring role in Party for Five and in the likes of CSI Miami. Tam is in fact on the run from the Alliance with his sister, River. Both, but especially her, are wanted very forcefully by the Alliance so that they can continue to perform brain surgery on her brilliant and exceptional mind. The need for the Alliance to find them brings serenity into the crosshairs of the Alliance and bounty hunters on many occasions.
She's the wayward child of the group.
She understands. She doesn't comprehend.
And I think that she's a purpose for them too. They had to make decisions that they wouldn't normally make on her behalf, you know, having to try to help her, save her.
For Summer Glau, this was her first acting role after training as a premier ballerina. She gets it, and she gets it good. Then there's Friar Tuck, or should I say Reverend Book. He appears to be the reverend from a traditional religious order. Nothing too new or too different in this time zone. But there is something odd about the Reverend. It's probably why he fits into this group. He appears to have an ID that is respected and feared by the Alliance, which does come in handy. He also is not shy about using his fists to hit the other cheek, and guns too. But he represents much, much more than that to the crew.
I think Book is kind of the conscience of the ship. In any kind of situation, he could be inserted as the conscience, both from his own point of view and also from the perspective of being able to require other people to be aware of dealing with where their consciences are coming from.
Book is played by the old man of the group, Ron Glass. I first remember him in the Barney Miller sitcom Ensemble from 1975. Even though he had done some very interesting things before and after, including, yeah, here's a good one, he was the black Felix Unger in The New Odd Couple from 1982. Also appearances in Hawaii Five-O, All in the Family, Sanford and Son, and The Bob Newhart Show, and that was all before Barney Miller. After it included Streets of San Francisco, Heart to Heart, even The Practice and Friends. He's also appeared in Star Trek, The Next Generation, and Voyager, and the list goes on and on. He certainly edged up the experience quotient with this young crew. One of the most interesting things about the development of any ensemble is the continuing development of the relationship between the characters. Obviously, there is a love interest between Reynolds and Inara that develops throughout the series. We always note the lingering looks, the heavy sighs, especially when a competing love interest makes an appearance, and the disingenuous banter.
Ah, the ambassador graces us with her presence.
Hello, Mal. I see we have some new faces.
Hey, you.
Hey, you.
Ambassador, this is Shepherd Book.
I'd have to say this is the first time we've had a preacher on board.
Well, I wasn't expecting to see a state official either. Ambassador? I'm missing something funny.
Not so funny.
Ambassador is Mal's way of...
She's a whore, Shepard.
The term is companion.
I always get those mixed up. How's business?
None of yours.
She is, pretty much, our ambassador. There's plenty of planets where we can let you dock without a decent companion on board. This isn't a problem for you, is it, Shepard?
Well, I certainly...
It's all right. I mostly keep to myself. When I'm not whoring.
Don't you want to meet the rest of the bunch?
Why don't you make sure they want to meet me first?
Or...
Have you ever had to service a really hideous client? With boils and the like?
A companion chooses her own clients. That's guild law. But physical appearance doesn't matter so terribly. You look for compatibility of spirit. There's an energy about a person that's difficult to hide. You try to feel that.
And then you try to feel the energy of their credit account. It has a sort of aura.
What did I say to you about barging into my shuttle?
That it was manly and impulsive?
Yes, precisely. Only the exact phrase I used was don't.
Without wanting to say too much, it obviously does develop, but is never consummated. Not in this series, anyway. Which, as we know, would kill the repartee. Then obviously there's Mal and Zoe, mutual adoration. And then, of course, Zoe and Wash. Mal and Wash. It's in fact a wonderful triangle with many more than 3 points.
So, when you said that you didn't get a chance to tell the captain my idea, what you actually meant was that you told him my idea, he rejected it out of hand, and you didn't argue the point or even give it another thought.
I gave, honey.
And then came the lying to me about it, which for me is sort of the highlight of this little adventure.
Is there any way I'm going to get out of this with honor and dignity?
You're pretty much down to ritual suicide, Lammy Toes.
I didn't want to upset you.
What did you think of it?
Of what?
My idea. Call the local MDs. Forget the fence, go straight to the source. Better prices, and we know the drugs get to the right people.
Captain thinks it'll get back to someone. It just caused trouble.
Tai Kong Su Yu Yoda Xing Chao Sai Jin Wuda Piku. Was I ever not asking what the captain thought?
Well, I tend to agree with him.
Tend to or have to? I love the fact that you two are old army buddies and you have wacky stories with rib cages in them, but could you have an opinion of your own, please?
You're losing the high ground here, sweet cakes.
I'm sure you and Mal will take that hill and fortify it with the body.
I thought your plan was too risky. I thought.
Then tell me. I am a large, semi-muscular man. I can take it. Don't hide behind Mal, because you know he'll shoot it down for you. Tell me.
Right. Because what this marriage needs is one more shouting match.
No, what this marriage needs is one less husband.
Then, of course, Mal and Jane. Respect with no trust.
Seems to me we had a solid plan.
Smooth, you might say. But what I can't figure out is what you were doing around the back exit.
What? I couldn't go out the front. I had to improvise. Open the damn door.
You called the feds.
What? I got pinched.
Which is what happens when you call the feds.
No, I would never do that, my hand of God. May he strike me down as I'm standing here.
Well, you won't be standing there long.
The minute we break ammo, you'll be a lot thinner once you get sucked out that hole.
Oh, come on, Mal!
Leaving ammo in 2 minutes.
That ain't no way for a man to die!
Secure ammo door at once.
You want to kill me? Shoot me! Just let me in!
You know, I hear tell they used to keel haul traders back in the day. I don't have a keel to haul you on, so...
Oh! Okay! I'm sorry, all right?
Sorry for what, Jane?
I thought you'd never do such a thing.
Money was too good. I got stupid. I'm sorry, okay? Be reasonable. What are you taking it so personal for? It ain't like I ratted you out to the feds.
Oh, but you did. You turn on any of my crew, you turn on me. But since that's a concept you can't seem to wrap your head around, then you got no place here.
You did it to me, Jane. And that's a fact.
What are you gonna tell the others?
About what?
About why I'm dead.
I hadn't thought about it.
Make something up. Don't tell them what I did.
The next time you decide to stab me in the back,
have the guts to do it to my face.
More love interest between Kaylee and Simon. Always difficult in the periphery.
You gotta be steely. Can't be letting men stomp on you so much.
That wasn't exactly a plan.
We ain't weak. You couldn't beat him back? Or would that not be appropriate?
You're never letting go of that, are you?
Well, you confound me some is all. I mean, you like me well enough, and we get along, and then you go all stiff.
I didn't...
See, you're doing it right now. What's so damn important about being proper? It don't mean nothing out here in the black.
It means more out here. It's all I have. I mean, my way of being polite, or however it's... Well, it's the only way I have of showing you that I like you. Of showing respect.
So when we made love last night...
When we what?
You really are such an easy mark.
Jane and Simon, the delicate balance between profit and trust.
Whoa. What's going on?
You got knocked out. Can you move your arms and legs?
They're not moving.
Do you want to know why? Your spine. You hit it pretty hard when you fell.
Fine.
Yes. So I gave you something to knock out your motor function so you wouldn't wrench it when you came to. Should wear off in a half an hour.
Fine, okay.
How much did they offer you to sell out me and River on Ariel?
That's crazy talk.
Then let's talk crazy. How much?
Anybody else?
You're in a dangerous line of work, Jane. Odds are you'll be under my knife again. No matter how you come down on us, I will never, ever harm you. You're on this table, you're safe. So I'm your medic. And however little we may like or trust each other, we're on the same crew. Now, we could circle each other and growl, sleep with one eye open, but that thought wearies me. I don't care what you've done. I don't know what you're planning on doing, but I'm trusting you. I think you should do the same. Because I don't see this working any other way.
Also, I can kill you with my brain.
Let me add, upon River's comment, the look on Jane's face is priceless. It should be noted, the fan base of the series has been central in keeping the flame alive, ensuring the movie got made, and there is so much activity. There is even a thread at fireflyfans.net, the forum zone, entitled Favorite Non-Verbal Character Moments. This was one of dozens of posts. It's really worth having a look at that thread after watching the series. That thread helps to define how successful the ensemble works with words, actions, and oh yeah, plenty of shooting and whoring. One last word on the characters. I could be talking about the non-regular occasional characters on the show. Their accents, backgrounds, and stories are so interesting and provide so much more color to the series, but I won't. That's because I want to spend a little time discussing the 10th regular character, the 10th member of the ensemble, the title character, Serenity, the Firefly. Don't worry. This isn't the near absurdity of Moya, the organic living spaceship on Farscape, or any of the other live spaceship sci-fi variants. This is about the essence and spirit of an object. In this case, Reynolds' partner in crime, home to him and his crew, and their protection from outerworldly elements, whether man-made or celestial.
It was old and cantankerous. Our doors didn't quietly open with a nice little how do you do hiss.
It was dirty.
It was very romantic, I think. It was for a spaceship. It was extremely romantic.
We got such a sense of this was our ride. This was the thing that kept us all together, kept us in the air, kept us flying, kept us working.
When you see the first time that Malcolm Reynolds lays eyes on Serenity, It's a love story right there. He sees it and you see it in his face. He's in love with this, and it's a pure, it's a real love.
The design of Firefly makes the most of its relationship to the insect of the same name and a bird. Its long neck cranes to see what's over the event horizon. Its technical design allows it to hover motionless in space or atmo. Its VTOL specifications allow it to fly horizontally or vertically. Although there's no cloaking or stealth technology aboard, it can disappear within a crowd, yet is unmistakably proud to host its crew. Sure, Kaylee can hear it, but it speaks to all of us, volumes, about the relationship between man and his creations. When we care so much for them, we know they can care so much for us. Firefly has been Whedon's creation from day one. Best known as the creator and key exec of Buffy and Angel, Whedon is one of the first third-generation television writer-producers in the business. His granddad, John Whedon, was a pioneering television sitcom writer of the 50s and 60s, penning scripts for such classics as Leave It to Beaver, Donna Reed Show, Andy Griffith Show, and one of my absolute favorites, The Dick Van Dyke Show. His son, Tom, Joss's dad, wrote for Dick Cavett, the sitcom Alice, and wrote and was one of the producers of Benson, It's a Living, and The Golden Girls. It was always going to be hard for Joss to live up to that pedigree. After a fascinating schooling experience both in the US and the UK, he had dreams of being an independent filmmaker, completely out of the Hollywood loop, completely out of the television universe. It took disappointment, time, and some of the wisdom of further maturity to realize that brilliant things could be made for television. And he finally went for it. After many unproduced spec scripts for the likes of The Wonder Years and The Gary Shandling Show, Joss got his first paying writing gig as a staff writer on Roseanne. This was a seminal experience for him, apart from being his first paying gig, but also because feminism was a significant subject close to his heart. And the character of Roseanne presented him with many opportunities to explore the subject. In the sitcom field, he also wrote and co-produced the Parenthood series, but cinema was still beckoning. He became known as a top Hollywood script doctor, having collaborated on Toy Story, Waterworld, Alien Resurrection, Titan AE, and even asked to contribute to X-Men. And within that time, he unleashed his screenplay for Buffy the Vampire Slayer. This was going to be his shining artistic and political moment. With Buffy, he created the opportunity to introduce a postmodern feminist icon. This was part of the period where he realized the power of science fiction and science fantasy to introduce radical subjects in conservative media. Although he lost control of the film project, and is reported to have even bawled his eyes out at a theatrical screening of the final film product, he was given the golden opportunity to do it again as a TV show. And the rest is history, so to speak. He created a cult and popular icon by regularly departing from the confines of television structural rigidity and playing with the form. For Joss, Firefly was another means to introduce some radical political and existential concepts in a series that is, well, still got plenty of guns and whores. He constructed his future to be completely accessible to a contemporary audience.
So I wanted to get a show that took the past and the future and put them together by making them feel like the present, by making a show with not only troubles that people could relate to as opposed to aliens or bumpy foreheads or ambassadors or things that, you know, are not part of everyday life, but like getting a job, getting out of trouble, you know, stuff like that that was very simple. Put it all in the present and give it a sort of you are here feel.
It should be noted that Joss directed 4 of the episodes in the series and wrote and or co-wrote 6 of them. He also wrote the opening theme and its lyrics. The other key driving force behind the series is Tim Minear.
I got to read the various incarnations of the script, and boy, I thought that looked neat. It was a Western, but it was in space, and there were horses, and there were guns, and there were cool people on a spaceship.
He joined Joss as one of the three executive producers at Firefly, as well as writing and directing episodes himself. In contrast to Whedon, Minear grew up in Whittier, California, just out of L.A., and presents a stereotypical industry outsider's introduction to Hollywood. An early Trekkie, Minear started making Super 8 films in his backyard at age 9. He went to Cal State at Long Beach and got his first gigs in the film industry as a production assistant come assistant director on such films as Reanimator, Platoon, and Dudes in the mid-1980s. He started writing in the early 90s and even co-producing an interesting series, High Tide, which was produced in New Zealand of all places. Most notably, he became a staff writer on Lewis and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman, and then staff writer and executive story editor for X-Files. Basically, X-Files brought him to the attention of Joss, and he came on to Angel, producing, writing, and directing episodes, as well as being co-executive producer. The story of the life and death and life again of Firefly is basically an optimistic one. The public has demonstrated that it can gain some control of programming decisions from those network honchos sitting in their ivory towers. If we care and are active enough, we can win. But the story of Firefly is not just about the backroom machinations of media. It's the story of taking a talented group of storytellers led by a visionary craftsman and being able to create the magic that we yearn for. The magic that picks us up and takes us far, far away to a world, well, a galaxy and beyond. This is the message of, if you remember, Fields of Dreams. Build it and they will come. This is Rennie Mann for Screen Gems. Enjoy.